Hey there. Welcome to the God's Goodness Podcast. We are your hosts, Josh and Shelley Hankins, and we're here to share real stories of God's power, stories of hope, healing, and miracles that will strengthen your faith. No matter what you're walking through, we want to remind you that God is good and He's still moving today. Let's dive in. Welcome back to the God's Goodness Podcast. Today we have an incredible couple with us, and you are going to be blessed by their story. We know them from church, and our church has hundreds of people, and we don't know everybody, but Pastor Rick thought it was important for us to be introduced because they have an incredible way of the way God led them to each other and throughout their lives together. And so God's been working through them, and he just wanted to feature their story on the podcast. So today we have that special couple. It's Jen and Pat Mary, and we're going to have them open us with an opening prayer, and then we'll get into their story.
Father, we just give this time to you. This is for your glory and to just be a blessing to others to impact your kingdom. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much for being here. So I know you wanted to start at about where you guys met. Like, it was a divine leading. So which one of you wants to start us off?
I could start that. Patrick and I met at South Hills Assembly over 30 years ago. And after attending for a time, we started to date. And that's when God spoke to me at the altar that Patrick was the one I was supposed to marry. I was surprised. I was on my way to work one day, and I kept asking the Lord, "Are you sure? Are you sure that this is the man for me?" And as I was speaking to the Lord, I saw a marquee at a restaurant saying, "Congratulations, Jennifer and Patrick." It was a place, Peter's place, that had marriage, you know, rehearsals, dinners. So that was really, wow. Okay, Lord, that was an exact answer. I had a dream of being in this wedding dress in my dressing room. This all happened over a period of time, not one thing after another. And wow, okay. I believe and I'll hold on.
Yeah, as Jennifer said, this is a year and a half to 2 years in the making. Again, Pastor Rick Cardell was very instrumental in us getting together. I introduced myself to Jennifer at South Hills Assembly, and she seemed like, how long have you been going here? Just kind of a little distant. And I thought we had a connection going, but anyway.
Jen shaking her head no.
She'll keep saying no to that. But so I was being mentored at the time with Pastor Rick Cardell, and I told him about it. And he said, "Well, when the time's right, you know, Holy Spirit will lead you, and we'll, you know, introduce you guys, and we'll see what happens then." A month went by, 2 months, 3 months. So we're about 5 months into this, and there's nothing going on, no connection, no introduction. And I'm, you know, at a place in my life where I needed to grow, and Pastor Rick was everything I was looking for. You know, he was a guy that really had a heart for God, didn't have, you know, a lot of things of the world, wasn't interested in, you know, the worldly culture, which is what I was looking for in a man of God, and he was that person. So I trusted his guidance, and one day after one of our classes, me and Jennifer were in together, he gave me the eye of it's okay, you know, just like winked. So I went over and we started talking, and I asked her out, and she said,
"That would be a date."
Yeah, so that's where we
and
we
he
started.
Said,
"No, it's not a date. It's just going out to eat." So that's how we got started, and the things that Jennifer mentioned happened as we dated for months. God confirmed, which he does. You know, he allows us to step into things, and as we step into those and follow those, then things get confirmed more, which is what he did, you know, in our relationship.
Now, did you ask her to marry you before she saw the marquee, or no. Was she milling about like, am I wasting my time dating this guy?
No.
You know, is this going somewhere?
I didn't ask her.
Yeah, so, I want to know who knew first. Like, this is the one. So who did God tell first?
It was me.
You? Okay.
Mm-hmm. It was way before.
Okay. And there was months that passed when I was searching because I didn't want to make a mistake.
It's like Bree and Luke. So Bree was told before Pastor Luke was told.
Oh, yeah. She's I knew so, ahead.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, yeah, that was something that I had to navigate through in my life. This is going back 30, 31 years, that getting married, relationship. You know, one of the things that we help, you know, couples with today and over the years is blended families. Because, you know, we're both coming from backgrounds of marriages that didn't work out. And in this system, the world system, there's a lot of that going on. But we have had the opportunity to be, we believe, put together, given a second chance to do marriage. And God's been with us the whole time. We look at divorce as something we don't want to do. But it happens, unfortunately. But it is something God forgives. What you did for us and gave us a second chance. So we do have a 30-year experience with blended families. So that's something that, you know, we've helped a lot of couples with. But as we got started at the time, 30 years ago, we did not know, you know, what that was going to look like. But we kept, you know, moving forward with that. And eventually, we got married after 2.5 years of dating.
Hmm.
And then we started ministry. And it was what you would expect. You know, you're already doing prison ministry. Got a lot of God things doing that together. We did that, you know, before we got married at the Allegheny County Jail. A lot of God things happening there.
That sounds like a very Pastor Rick kind of calling.
Yeah, yeah, he headed that up. And, you know, these things that we got involved with, you know, mm-hmm. he was a part of, and then that, you know, kept going. But also youth ministry, we were helping because we had teenagers at the time with the youth ministry at that time.
I just realized we had two pastors on the show that have been in jail, so it's just funny. Pastor Rick and Pastor Buckles. Well, Pastor, you know, Justin.
Okay,
Buckles.
Yeah, Justin Buckles, right?
Yeah, so that's fun. So it doesn't matter if you've been to jail; God will use you anyway.
Yeah, but okay, Jennifer, you want to add to that? So we were married 4 years, and this is when, doing these ministries, we started getting some direction and words from God to go to Oral Roberts University.
Okay.
And this is where, you know, telling the audience, direction, getting direction from God. Jennifer got more direction getting married and seeing things and confirming things. Now we're getting ready to go to Tulsa, Oklahoma, and we, you know, for anybody, okay, you're married 4 years, good jobs, and you're going to leave all that to go to Bible college. So that's where, you know, we really needed God's direction. So taking bold steps, you know, to do that. You want to talk about your Bible study?
Sure. Again, for some of us, I really needed a lot of clarification from the Lord. This meant picking up and leaving our families. But our yes was on the table. I just was going to this Bible study, the usual Bible study, and I said, before we went, I prayed, I said, Lord, I want to see this in your word. I don't know why I would ask him that. But when I got there was a white box on the table, all yellow around from 1989, and this lady came that I never met. She was new. And she was a Peters Township teacher that found this box in her garage that she'd forgotten about from a student that used to go there, and he wrote a little note that said, we need to get God back in the schools. And she goes, take a look at this. And she opened it. And as she did, I had to keep my amazement to myself because we agreed not to tell anybody about what God was doing in our lives at that time. It was an ORU study Bible. Hmm. I mean, like, so that did it for me. She said, oh, you seem like you really like it. I said, I do. She said, I think this is for you. So I took it home and put it on the dining room table as we were eating dinner. And I said, look at what's in that box.
I love when he does stuff like that.
Amazing. I like to know that I know that it's him.
And he knows that you like to know that you know.
Oh, I do.
Yeah. And we believe he does want you to know. And, you know, it's just, as we talk further, the relationship you're in with him, the connection, the intimacy that you have with the Lord. You know, I was reading this morning in John 15, it says, abide, verse 4, abide in me you know, that word means to stay, to dwell. And, you know, that's where we get more direction and more insight. Mm-hmm. But the other thing, because we, this is like the unbelievable thing about it. So I was in sales and, you know, working. I didn't finish college. And, you know, I had 72 credits from Kent State Pitt in South Carolina. And I was just praying. I was going to go back to school at Pitt and, you know, get into counseling. And we were praying about it. And this started coming up to go to Oral Roberts University. And so we prayed and we agreed that if I would go as a junior, and this is 25 years later, these credits are 25 years old. So I went to these schools and sent my credits in, and we agreed that if I would go in as a junior, that that was an open door. Well, 61 credits transferred. You need 60 to be a junior. So that was another green light for us keep moving forward. And then we prayed about going down to visit. Mm-hmm. And that was something that opened up. And nobody knew except Pastor Rick at the time. So, and he was so excited for us. He just felt like that's where God was leading. So he was agreeing with us as we kept searching the Lord and praying about it. So the next thing was, if you want to talk about that.
How did we know it was time to go, you ask? Although no one knew yet, we were involved with the youth, and one of the pastors asked us, hey, would you like to bring a van of youth that want to check out ORU when they graduate? They wanted to know what it was like, and we said, sure. So we took a van full of kids down.
Wow.
To ORU, and in that time, Pat got to meet with the counselor there.
Huh.
Yeah, and we got to look around, and it was amazing. I mean, only God could think this up.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like you had a lot of reinforcement about mm-hmm. this school. You guys both had jobs at the time, and how scary was that to walk away from known into an unknown situation? No job, states away, no family. I'm assuming you didn't have family in Oklahoma. You had nothing, no support
no.
whatsoever except God himself.
Yeah, like we had his
how
word.
How intensely, like, was there any fear that crept up here and there? Were there worry, doubt?
No, I didn't
well, not
have
from
any.
You. You got Mrs. Whitebox with the O.R.U. You, know, you got right. your answer.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's a good question. And, you know, anybody that's feeling a nudge or a leading, God answers all that. He wants you to know and feel comfortable with, you know, the direction you're taking. Mm-hmm. You know, Isaiah says you will be led, you will go out with joy and be led by peace. So these confirmations, you know, I wouldn't tell anybody to, you know, pull up stakes, quit your job and go to a Bible college unless the Holy Spirit, you knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, mm-hmm. that's where the Holy Spirit's leading,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, I was 40 years old at the time. And we're getting this direction, and yeah, okay, we're making good money, and we could relax, you know, just live life. But we had the call, so we answered it, and that means, yeah, we quit our jobs, and we didn't know where we were going to live. We didn't know anything about school. How was I going to do?
Mm-hmm.
And I had another incident, you know, on our way down to visit ORU the first time. We stopped at a truck stop. You know, I'm thinking, you know what, I'm too old for this. You know, this is too hard. And we were at the truck stop, and this old lady's walking around with this big Jesus pin on.
92.
Yeah, she's 92 years old. And she said, you know, I just try to encourage people and make them happy. And she's passing out tracts. And I'm sitting there thinking, you know, well, I'm too old to go down there. And so God just, you know, shook me a little bit there.
He's like, you're just getting started.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly, because the trip, when we got there, it was very, very busy. So
mm-hmm. He said you're 52 years younger than you could be to go.
Yeah, mm-hmm. right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Very good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. At the time, Pat didn't have a job yet. I knew it would happen because God said we were supposed to be there. He yeah. always provides mm-hmm. and gives grace and favor to provide everything for you. You know, when you put your yes on the table.
Mm-hmm.
I had a job 8 weeks before we went.
Oh, wow.
Why? I don't know. But I tried a salon. That's what I used to do. This one salon, and everything was yes, yes, yes.
So did you find a place to live before you moved there? Or you just, mm-hmm. like, kind of rented a place? Or, like, how did that
we
work out?
We looked at a few places when we got there, right?
Yeah, but we didn't find a place. We had...
Not.
Jessica was a senior in high school, and we wanted to get a place for her to go to school and where she could walk mm-hmm. there. So it was a real nice high school, one of the best in Tulsa at the time. So we got an apartment right near there. Mm-hmm. So that was our guiding light for the apartment, somewhere where she could go to school. Mm-hmm. So, but God worked that out too. She was a senior and she was all ready to go. Mm-hmm. And she ended up going to Oral Roberts as well after she graduated. And we had the blessing of her and I having a couple classes together.
Yeah, and so they walked together too. They didn't plan it. It just, everything just...
gives me chills.
Yeah.
I used to make a joke about it and say that, because, you know, there was about 50 or so of us my age going to ORU because there's about 5,000 students are all, uh-huh. you know, generally 18 to 22. And, you know, I used to make a joke about it and say, well, you know, my daughter goes here and I don't mind. So just kind of reversing that. But, you know, I remember when we were down there and, you know, God's word says humility comes before honor. And I'm thinking, you know, there's this big calling, you know, God called. It was like, as we mentioned, just concrete. And it was exciting. And I was just kind of wonder what he's got for us down there. So I started working for the state of Oklahoma night shift for a emergency shelter for abused kids. And when you worked a night shift, at least this was my job, all these people that came in, they came in from homes that were just horrific things going on and some stories that are really sad and break your heart. But so I'm there and I'm doing my job and I'm looking out the window. It's about 3 a.m. and I'm like, God, I think I missed you. Like, what am I doing here? You know? So I'm doing the wash of these kids. That's what I was doing, washing their clothes. And I felt like, you know, that I should be speaking into people's lives. I should be counseling something. And here I am washing clothes. And God almost spoke to me, but he really impressed on my heart. And he said, these are my kids, and you need to take care of them. Mm. So it, like, straightened me right up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I could see that coming.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You are doing his work. When you do it to the least of these, you're doing it to
Amen.
Him.
Amen.
There you go.
Amen,
right from his own lips, yeah. You know.
Yeah, so it was a moving experience, life-changing for me. And, of course, we have a whole bunch of those. So, honey, would you like to pick up from there?
Well, the next job for me, I said I'd never do. I worked in what is the name of that shelter again?
It was Laura so long Dester. Ago.
Laura Dester Shelter. I said, I would never work in a place like that. And then there was an opening. I guess I was done with hair right then. It's a long time ago, so. Yeah, what an eye-opener. My first day, I had to give a bath to a little boy who was about 7, and he had bruises on him. On his behind. Mm-hmm. And he was saying that his daddy, you know, hurt him. I was devastated inside. I just thought, can I do this, Lord? Yeah. So, and I was like a house mother for these little ones, getting their food ready, helping them get ready for school. They would ask if they could go home with me. I just, it did something to my heart. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it did something to theirs, too. They learned what safety was like. They learned
what
love was supposed to look like. You have no idea how much you touched those kids. I'm telling you now, they needed that. They needed it in a way that you cannot fathom, that God put you in a place to help those kids.
Yep.
And he said, you know, to heck with your discomfort, you're going to help my kids.
Yeah. Yeah,
and you got over it, and they healed a little bit because of it. You know, right. So praise God for you in that. That is a very difficult situation to be in.
Mm-hmm. Well, he used it for his glory, to love through me.
Mm-hmm.
I guess so. Yeah.
So God's preparing us for what's next, and we graduated from ORU. But before that, this is a quick story there because I wanted to take a class which would allow me to graduate early, but you needed a prerequisite to graduate, to take the class. And I was talking to the dean of the counseling department, and, you know, he said, because he let me take a class without a prerequisite, I thought this would be a shoe-in. And what happened was, he says, you know what, this isn't going to be that easy. I don't know if this teacher's going to let you do that. So I went to her and talked to her, and I said, look, if I take this, I'll have this done, and then I'll be able to graduate a year early. And I know this got to be a God thing, you know. So, and she said, oh, I'm sorry, I can't let you do that without a prerequisite. And I was devastated. I was mad for about a day and a half, and I'm like, okay, God, I know you open doors that no man can shut. You shut doors that no man can open. And I know you got something here. I don't know what it is, because I was making plans to take a job in Oklahoma, Tulsa, and it was similar to Lillard Esther. So it was just being planned out, and, you know, it was all being set up, and that door shut. So if I would have done that, what happened almost 9 months later, we get a call from Pastor Jack Stepp, and they're interested in doing a counseling center, which is what I was studying at ORU, and that's how that got started. And we came back, graduated, and started Compassion Connection Counseling Center in 2005, after I graduated. And with that, the takeaway of 5 years of doing that is starting with three people the first week of counseling. And then when we left, you know, there was at least 60 plus people coming in every week. You know, we had interns, made a lot of connections with the colleges, and we also had some part-time therapists. And again, the bigger takeaway is speaking into people's lives, seeing marriages get healed, seeing depression, anxiety, people having a place to go and believe, because it was faith-based Christian counseling. And that's what I've done for the last 20 years. And I won't do anything else but that, because, and I call it my scope of practice.
Mm-hmm. Did it cover everything? Like, you know, you mentioned what marriage is, but you also you mentioned depression, anxiety.
Yeah, mental health.
So you just, across the
addiction,
board,
yeah.
whatever issue you guys had,
yeah.
or they had, or anyone had, you would be willing to step in the name of Christ with a counseling that was Christ-centered.
Yeah, absolutely Christ-centered. And, of course, it's all homegrown. You know, I've had issues in the past, you know, 30 years ago plus, you know, with alcohol, and then I've had depression. So, but the Lord has delivered me, and I've overcome all that with the power of the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. and His Word. Man, I could mm-hmm. say that to everybody, which I do. And, you know, one of my favorite scriptures is 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 and 5. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God, pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations, and taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So as a therapist and, you know, cognitive therapy, you know, just a bunch of fancy words there that psychologists use. But it's really your thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what am I thinking here? You know, mm-hmm. God's a spirit. You know, that's what's the main thing, what, you know, you're thinking. So we talk a lot about that and helped a lot of people. Me and Jennifer early on, you know, did marriage counseling together. And as time went on, then from there, you know, went into private practice. And you want to maybe talk about Colorado a little bit, because that happened while we were at Oral Roberts University. And maybe a little bit about Bonnie and Jerry.
Oh, we had some friends. We were on the prayer team in Tulsa, and still friends with them today. And meeting Bonnie, she told us about a place called Coffee and Counsel. And it was just a little cabin in Colorado where ministers or people in ministry could go rest for a week, maybe a few days. And we could stay there free, you know. I'm pretty sure we gave a little offering there, but we went and we loved it. It was so quiet and so beautiful. And when we left, it seems like, to me, we took a piece of it with us.
Hmm. Yeah, and then we met Joanne.
And then that's right. While we were staying at the cabin at that first time, there was a little cabin up here. And we walked over, you know, we met her. Her name was Joanne. She's in heaven now, and she had a little dog. And you want to take over?
Yeah, so here we are, first time in Colorado. We're 10,000 yeah. feet in the mountains.
Yeah.
I mean, it's breathtaking. And mm-hmm. there was one cabin right next to this one. Ladies out in the yard, and we're talking. And she said, well, where are you from? I said, I'm from Pennsylvania. Well, I'm from originally from Pennsylvania. Really? And then I told her the town, Washington, Pennsylvania. And you're kidding. That's where I'm from. So here we are, 10,000 feet in the mountains. She's been living there 40 years. And this is our first time there, and God put us together. So mm-hmm. right away, the antennas go up, and you're like, okay, God, what's going on here? What's the direction? Does she know Jesus? You know, that's the first thing we think mm-hmm. of. Mm-hmm. And she did, and, you know, we've prayed with her and got to know her really well over the years. But eventually, you know, we went back to Pennsylvania and did the counseling center, and we were praying into that, you know, for almost 10 years.
Colorado.
Yeah, mm-hmm. before to Colorado, yeah, before the door opened up. And then we went out there to the work, the Denver Rescue Mission, which, and we bought a house, which we felt the Lord leading us there, about 2 miles away from where Joanne lived. So, yeah, we lived at 9,000 feet in the mountains. I know people are like, are you kidding? No, we weren't getting off the grid. This was all God, you know, leading us there. And working at the Denver Rescue Mission was just a high level of the Holy Spirit doing things every single day that mm-hmm. I was there, whether it's discipling, bringing people into the kingdom, praying for healing, just a lot of incredible experiences there. So,
and even before we settled down there, it just seems like we heard people over here in this restaurant or that in Pittsburgh, in Colorado, we just kept hearing Bailey. Bailey, Bailey. And this is where that woman lived and where we were staying for that week. And then, I know this is unusual, but God sometimes shows you things over and over to get your attention, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
We
facts.
Got to a point in these 10 years, like, do you want us to go or what's taking so long? Should we just forget about it? No, he wanted us to go. We were just getting prepared. It would seem as if people were flocking to Pittsburgh from Colorado. We saw license plates, I mean, everywhere. Even in our apartment window, somebody just parked right there. I'm like, oh, my goodness. We thought we were going to buy a house here. But it just didn't work out. Didn't work out. I know you're thinking of something.
Well, I was thinking about the one house.
I knew it.
We were going to buy. And yeah. I was like, dead set, I'm going to put a bid on. And Jennifer felt led to call me, and I'm sitting in front of the house picturing what it's going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
And this is actually on the road I grew up in Washington County. And she said, hey, I just felt like, what are you doing? So I'm looking at the house, you know, just want to see, you know, what all we can do with it. And I'm sitting there talking to her out on a remote road in Washington County, and I look in the rearview mirror, and his Colorado license plate is right behind
him. They pull right up behind him, and it's like, uh-uh, it's not here.
I say, you're not going to believe this.
He paused. I'm like, what's going on?
But I was still being stubborn. I said, I'm still buying the house. But so then we did. I went to bid on the house, and somebody bought it like the day before. So the door shut. I'm like, okay. You know, so we kept looking and looking. We couldn't find anything. And then we would go to Colorado and move. And we found a house the second day we were there and closed on it in 30 days.
True. But the year before that, we were looking at houses in Colorado. Remember?
Yeah.
And I saw that house and I went, that's interesting. Wonder where that is. And here, it, like Pat said, it was near Joanne's house, only about 2 miles.
Mm.
But it stayed empty. For a few years.
Wow.
And the first day we went to look at houses there with a realtor, it was like, oh, that's beautiful. You want in a different house. Okay, I liked it. And then she came in the office after we saw it, and she said, I'm sorry, I didn't know. Somebody already put a bid on it. And I'm like, and the next morning we woke up, that other house, they must have took it off the market for a while, came up. I said, this is that same house I looked at. Mm. So when we were going to look at it, remember? Right? In the middle of the National Forest.
Yeah, it was a God thing.
Oh, my gosh. We walked up the steps and saw three mountains from our living room, and that was it. Mm. We were ruined.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Woo! I said, this is it.
And the takeaway,
yeah.
It's okay, it's the house, but, you know, God allowed us to live in the mountains and, you know, work at the Denver Rescue Mission where he was doing a lot of things every day. And, you know, Jennifer spent a lot of quiet time you know, you get close to Jesus in prayer, mm-hmm. you know, with that going on. So, mm-hmm. So what would you like to...
Even before that, we were, our lease was coming up while we were still living here. And one day we got a letter in the mail saying, you're not allowed to have a dog here. We lived there for 5.5 years, and they said we're allowed to have a dog. It was gone. And we were praying. We're like, oh, my gosh, where are we going to go? What are we going to do with our dog? We love our dog.
We have this family.
And mm-hmm. and it hit me. He's kicking us out. It's time. And then I heard when we were at the sofa, I'm getting chills remembering it. Are you ready for a whirlwind? I went, what? And we were, even though we were looking for another place, and then you had, I don't know how you did it, but in that space of time, you put an application for Denver Rescue Mission. Mm-hmm. And he did a Skype interview. And as long as it took for this to happen, boom, 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 it was very fast mm-hmm. after that.
It's like standing at the top of a water slide, and you're scared to go down. And
oh, my God.
Finally, he kicks your feet out from underneath, and you have a wild ride down.
We couldn't stay, but we didn't know where we were going to go. And then we knew that was
the gentle encouraging wasn't working, so he had to do it.
Well,
yeah, he did.
Rolled his sleeves up, said, all right.
It's time.
Yeah.
Maybe you didn't hear me when I said I need you to go here.
No, we just didn't. Every time we would go out to make sure, it just didn't seem mm-hmm. there yet.
Yeah.
We were willing.
And that's the thing yeah. with waiting on God is that, you know, his timing.
Yeah, it's not easy to wait.
It's not, yes, it's yes, no, or not right now.
So, yeah.
And that's been our experience mm-hmm. over the last 30 years together.
So 30 years in whirlwind of disappearing from Pennsylvania to go to college in Oklahoma with the weird weather that they have there, you know, from hail to mm-hmm. scorching to tornadoes, like just changes every minute, every day, just something new, to coming back here and then going to Denver mm-hmm. or near Denver.
Yep.
What miracles did you guys see in these 30 years of ministry and counseling? I mean, other than what you just shared, like what are the ones that like stick out of your head like, wow?
You want to go first? Or?
No, you can go.
One of the things, okay, when I was in Denver, this was so incredible, and you want to see it all the time. And we were on a prayer team in our church, and they were visiting a church. They had a priest, and it was Catholic, but he was Spirit-filled. I've never experienced anything like this, but there were people there that needed prayed for. And I remember a guy with a broken arm, and I prayed for him, and he got healed.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a guy that was limping and prayed for him, and he got healed. So this was an anointing that this place had. And it just opened my eyes more to how, okay, it's not cookie cutter. It's really God moving in places where people have faith, but they don't really know him that well yet. And that's where, you know, this place was. And there was another time where God, you know, was ministering to the homeless. And this is just an incredible thing of how God, you know, shows us that he cares for everybody. And he gave me a guy's name. And I kept, you know, saying the guy's name. God wants to bless Tom. And it's like silence. Nobody was coming up. Mm-hmm. And we talked a little bit more. I just kept getting it. And I said it again. God wants to bless you. So finally, this guy kind of, you know, just hunched over, came up, older gentleman, African-American. And I just started praying with him. His name was Tom. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they live homeless and, you know, they, you know, we all know their hygiene is not the best. And so that was evident. But it was just amazing how you could feel God's love for mm-hmm. this gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a word that God gave me, you know, for him to encourage him. So that was another experience. And then Jennifer... Yeah. We prayed for a few people there, and she can tell you about that, mm-hmm. That were not having children. But
yeah, I got opportunity always at my jobs to somehow get divine appointments. Well, because I want them, I guess. you know. Mm-hmm. I want to make a difference. And it seems like I was on a roll with people that wanted to get pregnant but couldn't. And this one girl at a hairdressing place, we went out back and we were talking. She goes, I just want a baby. I said, well, let's pray. You want to pray? Yeah. And I prayed for her to get pregnant. Simple prayer. That's a desire of her heart. Not a believer yet. And she said, what was that? She felt his presence. Mm-hmm. That was the first step. Mm-hmm. And then, I don't know, it was a month later, she had called the salon and talked to me. She said, you'd never guess. I said, you're pregnant. Yep. Mm-hmm. And then even our daughter-in-law, they were here visiting. They're in Oklahoma. And where were we? We were at a little coffee shop.
Yeah, just so they know. Josh ended up moving there and staying when we moved. So yeah. He wasn't there yet. Yeah, and he met his wife. They've been married, what, 15, 16 years now?
Yeah, somewhere along those lines. Yeah. And we were in a coffee shop. Me and April were waiting for the guys to get our coffee. And she said, just want us to have children. I said, do you want to pray? Just a couple seconds. He had our granddaughter, Lily.
That's awesome.
And and then there was another one that I don't remember that much about, but she got pregnant too. And I thought,
That was one of the interns.
Huh? Oh, it was the intern. Yeah. Okay. Hmm. It was a long time ago.
Awesome.
Yeah. Well, 30 years of doing this.
But we're not done yet, you know, but that's where he had us in those places.
Wow.
Yeah, and
you just had a recent experience.
That's right. A woman, you know how you're just going grocery shopping? Uh-huh. And this lady, we just seemed to intersect in the aisle. And I said, hello. And we started talking, and I could tell she's a new believer. A new believer. And we got to talking, and she said, how do you know when God's directing you? What's his direction? And I just spoke a little about some of the things, you know, that we've been through. Ask him, be attentive, and he'll show you. And she was just, I was blessed by just having that. And other little things like that. Divine appointments, they're special. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They may seem small, but it can alter a whole person's life.
I feel that's my whole life is just divine appointments.
I love that. Where are they? Where are they?
I don't go looking for anybody. God puts them to me every single time.
Right in your path.
Every single time.
Mm-hmm.
I was just actually mentioning it to Shelley earlier today. Well, I was talking about a guy that I run into at Sheets. That singled me out because I was in uniform, and I'm an EMT, and he shared that he was an EMT 30 years ago, and that he had killed somebody and quit. And I was like, man, yeah, that's horrible. And then he kept talking to me, and I was like, oh man, I don't know if I have time to talk to you. And he's like, give me his whole life story. Like, I just wanted to go away. I'm kind of an introvert, so I don't like to have a lot of conversation with people.
Mm-hmm.
And then he shared what had happened, and I was like, that's not your fault. Right? And so I started pouring life into him and saying, look, dude, that if you had a surgeon right there that couldn't have saved this man, like, how do you think you killed him? Like, that's not you. Like, you need to get rid of this. You
need to not hold on to
this. He absolutely did.
Yeah.
And I mean, my partner, he had gone. I don't know where he went. You just saw a little vapor trail he was, like in the cartoons, because he wasn't about to talk. And I was like, well, I'm all alone here. And I'm glad, because it was only meant for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I that's the only way I live, is God has to hand them to me. Is here, I got one for you. Here, I got one for you. Here, I got one for you.
Yeah.
And I totally respect his method on that, because he gears it towards people like us.
Yes.
He gears it to people that want to help people, that when they hear the right thing, they're like, oh, hold on, right? Mm-hmm. As Pat said earlier, you know, the radar went up. Like,
I was just going to say, the antennas are going, hold on,
something's going on, this is it. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I really appreciate those moments. I appreciate that God does that we, you know, because it's more evidence that he is with us.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
It isn't just like, well, you have a faceless God. He doesn't talk to you. He's like, my God. My God doesn't stop talking to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the part that, you know, a lot of people do cry out to God when they're alone. And that's what we have. We have God. We have Jesus. And that's why we connect, because they come and tell us, like you, Josh, their whole story. Because we have God in us, mm-hmm. and they feel open and led to do that.
Yeah.
And we have the answer. You know, the answer is Jesus, and he can turn everything around for you, mm-hmm. you know, which he does.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of weeks ago, we helped some friends of ours at a Dairy Queen. They were serving breakfast. It was an outreach, free breakfast for everybody. I had the blessing. People drove through, and they could get a couple pancakes, sausage, and whatever. It was like over 300 people that came through there. But we had the blessing of praying for people, and I was just amazed. The people in their cars coming, but you need prayer. Just weeping, crying. Yes, I need that. Losing loved ones, suicide, just breakup. There's just a lot of hurting people out there. And I believe, like Josh and Jen are talking about here, divine appointments are available. God wants us to be ready, just to be in the moment. But they will be available everywhere you go. God wants to use you, speak life, and walk in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Couldn't agree more. Yeah, I mean, when you see someone like far away crying in their car, a normal person doesn't just walk up to them, right? But someone filled with the Holy Spirit that has compassion, that says, this is not right. This is this. I need to say something. I need to see if this person's okay. That's the Holy Spirit moving. If they don't believe in God and they have that, that's the Holy Spirit moving them, because they're going to believe in him eventually, right? Because he knows. And so I love that. I love that so much when he does that.
Amen.
What a ride that you guys have been on.
Yeah.
And then when you get those little experiences, they just energize you and make you want to have more encounters.
Yes.
And do it again. And you're like, do it again, God. Just show off and show us how good it can get. And it's just encouraging. And I hope others can be encouraged to step out. Because if you're put in an experience, like a situation like my husband, just go with it. Because God can use you in any place he puts you.
Yeah.
So
you just have to be willing.
Right. Yeah. If you're willing and obedient, just go with it. It could be the biggest adventure of your life.
For sure.
Wow.
I hope that doesn't frighten anybody who doesn't like adventures.
Yeah.
Yeah, we wonder what's next sometimes.
So, go ahead. All right, so I was going to ask, some of our listeners are probably seeking clarity and direction that you guys clearly have. What advice would you give to someone who feels unsure about their next step?
Sit at his feet. Take time to be quiet and be attentive to his voice, to Holy Spirit. Don't forget your spiritual disciplines. Prayer. Get in the Word. Meditate on the Word. And pay attention. Keep your ear to the ground. He'll respond to that.
Oh, absolutely.
Like Mary. The problem today, people are too busy. And it's easy to be busy. There's so many opportunities to be, but we need to keep our priorities straight.
Okay, so when God speaks this, I mean, what's a practical way to discern that that is the voice of God, right? We know that we can check it with the Bible, right? But, like, when we hear that initial voice, how do we discern God's voice?
You get used to hearing it. You know, he said, my sheep know my voice.
Familiar.
So it is relational. If you're not reading it, God's going to speak to you, like we all know, more out of his Word. I mean, we get the opportunity to sit down with the author every time we read the Bible. So that's right. He's going to go with that. But like the other day, I heard, call your cousin, and I had some business to do with him. I knew that was God, because I, just let it go, and I needed to do it. And so just that little thing, because I've been witnessing to him and talking to him and trusting God with his life. So you want to keep that connection going and, keep favor in unbelievers' lives, so, they'll keep trusting you with what you're saying. But that was, just a practical thing that I needed to do, but I knew that was God impressing. And we try to do that every day. I need to go to Home Depot. And I didn't want to do it then, but I really got impressed by the Lord to do it. And as soon as I walk in, there he is, the guy that God wants me to talk to. And I knew it. And we did. We had a long conversation. I've witnessed to him before. And he's getting, his medical issues going on are getting a little worse. So we prayed for him. And, he's just having a hard time trusting God. But the point was that God impressed my heart to go to Home Depot. I know I needed to get something, but yet there was a bigger deal there besides me needing to get something, but to talk to this guy. And we don't know. We're planting seeds. We're watering. God gives you increase. So,
It can really be something as simple as stop what you're doing and pray for your husband now.
Mm.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, okay. Oh, now. I prayed. You called. And I asked, what mountain were you on at that time? Where were you?
Yeah, we were
in a dangerous
climbing Maroon Bell, me and a really good friend. He was a chaplain.
Yeah.
And then his friend was with us too. And I've climbed a lot of 14ers in Colorado, never had any issues. This was the first time that I was climbing this mountain. We got off trail. And it was the first time I thought, I'm way over my head here.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I thought we were going to fall off the mountain. It was mm-hmm. just 5 inches of a cliff.
And God literally stopped.
Yeah, so Jennifer wow. prayed for us when we were going
I had no mm-hmm. idea.
But it's just things like that.
Just think your marriage could have ended if you didn't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could have just been
over. Yeah, like, you can't just say, well, yeah, no.
Do it later.
Do it now. That's obedience. Delayed obedience is not really obedience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, one last thing is you guys call the goodness of God.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where the enemy's biggest lie. God isn't good.
Oh, he's so
good. From the very beginning. Yeah, mm-hmm. right.
Mm-hmm. Right. God's, you know, he's holding out on you.
Mm-mm.
That is such a lie. Mm-hmm. But this is where, and I talk to people every week, but they don't believe, I don't think God loves them.
Oh.
And that's where this thing goes sideways too much, or they don't read, or they don't get to know him, because they don't believe. And that was one of the things I had to overcome years ago, you know, mm-hmm. just basing on your earthly father, and, you know, yeah, God loves you, but, you know, you got to work hard at it, and if you do something mm-hmm. wrong, he's going to hit you over the head. And then I've gotten to know God over the last 30 years. That's not who he is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it says he is love, and he is. And when we fall in love with him, which I did, it makes it so much easier to read your Bible, to spend time with him.
Because
you're in love with him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think the biggest problem that we have in today's society isn't, we deflect and we say that I don't feel God's love, but the real reality is you can't love your neighbor like you love yourself, because they don't love themselves.
That's true.
And the biggest problem we have is we live in a society that is self-centered, egocentric, and
yeah.
people do not love themselves.
Right.
It is very hard to reach a loving God if you don't know what love is, because you haven't experienced it in your own life, because you don't say it to yourself.
There you go.
I mean, it's hard to reach out to your neighbor. Like, look at the political climate. Don't care what side of the fence you're on, extremists on either side, that just bash each other. There is zero love.
Mm-hmm.
Zero love. And that's what we need. And I really appreciate you guys, especially in your counseling and missions, where you're helping homeless, where you're helping addicts, you're helping marriages, you're helping people that have mental instabilities for whatever reason, you know, from past traumas, from the enemy attacking their life. You guys have shown and demonstrated God's love towards a multitude of people. And that is something you can hang your hat on, right? And it's something that you probably don't, because you give all glory to God.
That's right.
And that's an amazing, amazing thing. And I really appreciate having you guys on today and telling us your story, because that is, I think, is something very important for everyone to hear, that God is still talking to us, that it is possible for us to listen to him. You are worth his love. You're worth your own love. And it doesn't matter what you've done, right? We all sin and fall short of the glory
that's
of God.
Right.
Right? That while we were still sinning, he sent his only son for us.
Amen.
Not because he said, hey man, you cleaned yourself up, here's my son. Not that at all. Right? And I appreciate the work you guys put in. I appreciate you listening to God and then giving hope to our listeners that they too can act on God's word, that they too can wait for him, and they too can get confirmation to do the things that need to be done, even if it seems scary, that he will not let you drown. He will not let you be submerged in that fear, that he will take care of you. And I think you guys are a tremendous blessing in it. I appreciate having you on.
Well, Josh and Shelley, Jennifer and I are very honored and humbled to be here. So thank you for having us.
Thank you for having
allowing
or
us
for coming
to share our
time.
Story.
Before we wrap this up, would you pray over our listeners seeking direction and next steps?
Sure. Father, we thank you for Jesus. And you said in your word, the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. And we rest in that. We believe that. We trust that. And we pray that over this home with Shelly and Josh. And we pray that over our audience, that they can trust you and know that the Holy Spirit will guide them wherever they need to go. The right place, the right time, doing the right thing with the right people. You want to do that for them. And we just pray that over this audience, that they would be blessed with that direction and that they would come to know you better and just keep reaching out to you, because we know that you're always going to be there for them and you want a close relationship with them. Mm-hmm. And we pray all this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. Listen, let's stay connected. Come follow us on all the socials at God's Goodness Podcast, where you can find the latest and say, hey, it's a really great way to stay in touch. Many of you have asked how you can support the show. You can make donations through any of the links in the About section, or of course, by praying for us, as well as sharing, rating, and reviewing on social media and iTunes. Your heartfelt feedback always reminds us why we do this. Until next time, remember, God is always working, miracles are real, and your breakthrough could be just around the corner. Keep believing, keep expecting, and don't forget to share this with someone who needs hope today. We'll talk to you next week.